Yes, again, happy Sabbath, everyone. This is Brother Jackson here, and thank you very much, all the brethren, Brother Willard, Brother Felix, Sister Rose, Brother Richard, everyone who has shared, everyone who is praying while those were sharing, as we're listening attentively. We thank Elohim for this opportunity to fellowship together wherever we are at this time. Today, we will be continuing where we left off last week, and the topic is why we are here. Why we are here. So we will be continuing where we left off. And just a quick review, and I really want to do this quick so we can have time. I hopefully want to finish this teaching today. So why we are here. We saw last week about Elohim's salvation, that the solution to the problems we talked about the previous Sabbath is Yeshua. Yeshua is Elohim's salvation. He is the divine expression of Elohim. He came, that's number one. And number two, number one, he came to save the world. Number two, he taught everyone must repent. Number three, he taught everyone must believe the good news. Number four, he did incredible, virtuous, life-saving miracles. Number five, he gave his life for the entire world during the Passover season. Number six, he resurrected from the dead after 3 days and three nights. Number seven, he ascended, returned to Elohim, his father, so we can have forgiveness and receive his Holy Spirit. Number eight, he will return to establish and govern the kingdom of Elohim on this earth. And number nine, we saw that he will destroy the works of Hasatan, the works of the adversary. And that's where we left off. And we just, that portion, we read that there's a fearful ending. Yes, we saw initially in this, when we started this study, this presentation a couple of Sabbaths ago, is that as humans, we create a lot of problems on this earth. But we're not to be humans, we're to be sons of Elohim, and we are persons, sons of Elohim. We create a lot of problems because of our sins, and Elohim has great patience and great love towards us, and that he has sent his son so that he can give us victory, forgiveness over sin, and victory over sin, forgiveness and victory over sin, by his Spirit. By causing us to walk, to love, and walk in his commandments and do them and become overcomers. But we must ask for that, for the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just come. We must ask for the Holy Spirit in prayer, earnestly. He will never give his Holy Spirit to someone who doesn't earnestly desire his Holy Spirit. And there's great punishment for those who rebel, because there's really no reason in the world why a person should not be saved. Because Elohim, again, will give us his Spirit to do it. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He expects us to repent, but overcoming, he knows we can't overcome on our own. And that's why he gives us his Spirit, but we have to ask for that Spirit that will conform us, change us into his image. So there's no excuse. So those who refuse the Holy Spirit, who sin against the Holy Spirit, who rebel against the Holy Spirit by not earnestly seeking after the Holy Spirit, praying day and night for the Spirit until we receive it, he says, speaking of the evil leaders, he says, these both were cast. He says, let me read, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's Revelations 19, verse 20. And we saw that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night for ages. Revelation 20, verse 10. And then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14. Now, this is the what I said is strong punishment for those who don't repent, who refuse to receive the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. Of them it is written, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. So by his divine power, Yeshua will regenerate the lake of fire to absolutely and forever destroy everything and everyone that refuses to stop doing and supporting the ideologies and acts of destruction and death, which is sin, the transgression of the commandments, the laws of Elohim. So he's very patient, very kind, very loving. And that's why he stretched his hands out to all, that they should repent of their sins and turn to him in faith, asking for the Holy Spirit so they might be saved, right? Be saved from the destruction and to receive what is number 10 of what Yeshua will do. Number 10 is create new heavens and new earth. We know it's Yeshua because he is the one through the word of Elohim through which he created the heaven, the earth, and his spirit, the everlasting arms underneath. These are the everlasting arms spoken of in the prophets. His uniquely born son and his set apart spirit. So wonderfully, this is number 10, because we finished at number 9, which I just went over, which is the punishment that awaits those who are rebellious, refusing to receive the spirit to so they'll stop sinning. That was number 9. So number 10 is Elohim through Yeshua will create new heavens and new earth. So wonderfully, Yeshua will regenerate and receive everyone who keeps his commandments of liberty and life and create an awesome new world for them. A new world where evil will never, ever exist. Hear his word. Quote, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. That's in Isaiah 65, 17 in the prophets. Also in Isaiah, it says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, quote, says the Eternal, so shall your descendants and your name remain. That's in Isaiah 66, verse 22. And the new covenant scriptures tell us, this is in Peter, the epistles of Peter, he says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Another new covenant scripture says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea or no more deep. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. So these are the 10 great works of our wonderful, wonderful Savior, the Yeshua, the uniquely born Son of Elohim, the firstborn power and only born power over all things. So these are the works that Yeshua did on our behalf and will do, is doing and will do for us. So number 5, why are we here? Actually, before I go to number 5, so this is why we are here, to be saved and to experience these wonderful things. All right? So let's look at number 5. Now that we've finished with the looking at what Yeshua did, these 10 wonderful things that Yeshua has done or will do, let's look at part 5 of why we are here. Part 5 of what we are here is what you need to do, what we need to do to be saved. As Paul is saying, make make our salvation sure. What we need to do to be saved. We should never, ever think that we can be saved in a different way. And I think one of our brethren read about another gospel where Paul says, if anyone brings you any other gospel, even if it should be an angel, claiming to be an angel, let him be anathema, because we know no angel of Elohim would do that. But remember, even the angels of Satan could transform themselves into ministers of light. So let's not be deceived. The gospel is clear of what we need to do. Yeshua is the Navi Emet, the true prophet, the prophet of truth, the true prophet. And what he says is plain and simple and clear, so all who want to be saved can be saved. Only those who don't want to be saved, those who don't take him seriously, who reject him and his spirit will be lost. It's easy to be saved if we do it his way. So what we need to be saved is this. But sometime before Yeshua was crucified, a woman did something so special that he, that is Yeshua, instructed his people who preached the good news to always tell of it when they teach the good news. Here is what happened. Quote, now when Yeshua was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat to eat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Yeshua understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. That's in Matthew 26, verses 6 through 16. Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. So this is a very important thing. And you could always know the one key thing to recognize the ministers of Elohim is that they will always include this portion of scripture when they preach the gospel. Why? Because the master told them to. The master etched it in their hearts. They cannot leave it out because they understand it. So this one woman trusted Yeshua so much that she did not let the ridicule or potential attack of others stop her from doing all she could for Yeshua before his death. So to be saved, like this woman and other faithful disciples, we must not let anyone or anything stop us from doing exactly what Yeshua said we must do. There's no other way. No other authority, no other name given under men but the man Yeshua. So, the first thing he says, as you've seen in the summary of the repentant paper, is people need to repent from sin and keep the commandments. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the eternal Elohim, quote, repent, turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations, as recorded by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 14, verse 8. Another from Ezekiel, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the eternal Elohim. Repent, to make teshuvah, shuv, and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. See, not from some, from all transgressions. He didn't say they're overcome all transgressions. Believe me, brethren, there's a big difference. Our master is is very kind and wise. He's not telling us to overcome all our transgressions. He says, repent from them, turn from them. Turn from them and turn to Him, and then He will enable us to have the victory over them. So let's look at some portion in New Testament. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, verse 17. Another one is, but declared first to those in Damascus, in Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to Elohim, and do works befitting repentance. Acts 26, verse 20. So it's not just stopping from sin, but it's also doing good works. We must do good works. It's not just stop. When we stop, that's ground zero. Okay, we're not sinning, but are we doing good? He did not call us, any of us, to be idle. No one who's going to enter the kingdom will be idle. We all must serve, and in His serving, He's such a wonderful master. He will bless us so much as we do that. Acts 26, right? So another one from the old first covenant is, therefore you shall love the Eternal, your Elohim, and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. Not sometimes. That's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 1. And lastly, on this portion of repentance, he says, so he said to him, this is Yeshua speaking, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is Elohim. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19, verse 17. So, brethren, the first step is repentance, turning to Elohim. There's no way around this. Secondly, he says, believe and also confess the good news. What is the good news? What we talked about before. Elohim's project of making us His family. And because we've sinned, His plan of salvation through His Son who suffered and died for us. And all the great works that we talked about that our Messiah Yeshua will do for us. Believe that. You have to believe in those things. Right? Believe those. So it says, understand and know for certainty that He will establish the kingdom of Elohim over all, that you were created to become the family of Elohim and His kingdom. Now, after John was put in prison, Yeshua came to Galilee preaching the good news of the kingdom of Elohim, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. And what else? In the book of Romans, we find that the apostle Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the sovereign Yeshua and believe in your heart that Elohim has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9. So we need to repent, we need to believe, and we need to confess that gospel by our life, by our lifestyle, the good confession. Part C of what we need to do, we need to get baptized in water by the Spirit. We need to receive the mikvah mayim, the baptism of water, which is the baptism of repentance. That's our part, where we repent of our sins, and then we must also be baptized by the Spirit, that is Yeshua's part, where He gives us the Spirit so we can now overcome. We have turned away from our sins, and in faithfulness, as we ask Him, He will give us His Spirit. So, let's read on. It says a little bit about this. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name, in the authority of Yeshua the Anointed for the remission of sins. And what shall happen? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the set apart Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, may the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. Romans 15:13. So it's, we don't abound by our own natural abilities to repent. No, it's by the Spirit now we become overcomers, where we are excelling, abounding by the power of the Holy Spirit. So receiving the power of the Holy is key, and we need to ask for it. It's important. So let's finish this portion about baptism. It says, in him you also trusted, that trust, that faith, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, the gospel of your Yeshua, of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with this holy, with the Ruach HaKodesh, set apart spirit of promise. You were sealed. That's Ephesians 1:13. That's why whoever receives the Holy Spirit receive the seal of Elohim, and no one can now separate you from Elohim, but you must have the Spirit first. Okay? See, the Spirit, and people get confused, but I can't go into it, but if you look online, you will see a teaching on about the Holy Spirit. It is the seal. Elohim will never give his Spirit to a person until he or she is ready. He is not unwise. Remember his teaching, do not cast your pearls before swine. Do you think he's going to give his Holy Spirit to someone who he knows is not going to be faithful? He knows the end from the beginning. Again, as I quote from Abraham, concerning Abraham, he says, I chose Abraham because I know he will do everything that I command him. So he's not going to put his seal on anyone who he knows will turn away, who he knows doesn't want to do that. And as we saw in the book of Acts, we saw that Simon did not receive the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts was very clear. He did not receive the Holy Spirit. He wanted to buy it. And Peter says, I believe it was Peter, you perish with your money. The book of Acts is very clear about that. The spirit that Simon had was a different spirit. A matter of fact, Peter says, I see you are in the gall of bitterness. He did not receive the Spirit. That's why he wanted to buy it. So brethren, whatever records we see, we must align the teachings with the teaching, because the scriptures cannot be broken. So where was I? So the set apart spirit, over and over in the book of Ephesians, a seal. It's a seal of salvation. And Elohim would never give his spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. That's why nothing unclean could enter the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the time of Moses. Nothing. It had to be kept pure and clean. And likewise, the only temple that the spirit of Elohim will dwell in is the clean one. He will never enter into a defiled place. Elohim is wise. He will not contradict himself. How can he say, do not cast your pearls before swine and not do? No, he will not do that. It's very clear in the scriptures. So D says, be one. So that's get baptized. It's very important, because he does not give his wisdom to those who just, we got to understand this. He gives his wisdom to those who are humble. Not a fleshy humility, but a humility where we're surrendered to him, where we don't trust in our own understanding, where we look at the scriptures and see and understand what he has done. He has preserved certain scriptures, which are called, which we have a little bit of, which are we have 66 books, but there were more. But he has preserved even till this day the key books of salvation. Anything that contradicts these books, we know there's a lying pen of a scribe, or it's false. Because there were many, many ancient writings. Some of them are false. And some of them were tampered with. But the entirety of scripture shows that he will never give his spirit to some, to people. And that spirit is when he's given as a seal. The spirit can come upon someone to cause them to do something. Like the spirit came upon Saul. That's Saul, the king, the first king of Israel from Benjamin, the one who came before David. The spirit came upon him, but the spirit didn't stay. The spirit came upon him, and he danced and he prophesied, but the spirit did not stay upon him. But David, the chosen of Elohim, when he was anointed, it says, and from that day forward, the spirit never departed from him. And the Eternal made a covenant of salt with him, saying, if you punish, if they sin, he would not destroy them or cast them away, but that he would punish them for their sins. But he would not cast them away, because he made a covenant of salt, which is basically like the new covenant. The new covenant is just that. When we sin, he does not cast us away, but he will punish us, because he knows who we are. He knows that when he chastises us, we will repent. But the wicked, he does not do that. The wicked, he allows to live. And that's why many wicked people live long and do so many things, because he intends to get them at the judgment day. But those who will repent, he chastises, because he knows they'll turn. All right, so let's move on from here. So, besides receiving the Holy Spirit of promise, we must be one with the called ones, with the ecclesia, the Kahal Elohim, the congregation of Elohim. Now, I want to say quickly, being one with the cut doesn't mean this group, so to say. We hope by Elohim's mercy to be what he is. Only he can say who his congregation is, not man. He will show who his congregation by the works of the Spirit in that group. When you see the power of the Spirit active in the knowledge of of those speaking, where they don't make errors, then you know it's a congregation of Elohim. When you see that when they pray, their prayers are answered, and signs and wonders are done through them, then you know for sure it's the congregation of Elohim. What type of signs and wonders? Those similar to what Yeshua and his apostles did. Virtuous signs, not useless things like flying through the air or reading palms or casting spells or anything. All these things, you can tell the difference. These type of things are from the devil. You know, to have the power to suddenly do these type of things, they're useless. They don't do anything. They don't bring praise to Elohim. But the works of Elohim are to turn others from sin, to have the loving kindness to be patient with others, to recognize scripture, being able to recognize truth, knowing what Yeshua is, all which do good are of the Father. All that which is good, which is from above. We understand these simple things. I should say straightforward, but made simple for us. Let's move on. So we must be one with the true congregation that is in Elohim's hand, that is in Messiah's hand. So what we need to do is pray for these things. We be baptized, be sealed by His Spirit, and say, Father, hold me in your hand. Once we know that you are in His hand, once you know you are in His hand, then you know you are of His congregation. You are of His called out ones. That's how it's done. It's not filling a form. It's not going to some quote unquote minister, you know, who's going to beg you for your tithes and offerings and that kind. Nope, it's not that. It's having a true, genuine relationship with your Creator. And you know you have that relationship when He answers you. When He answers you. And you know He answers you when He doesn't contradict anything He says. When it aligns with everything He says in the scripture, then you know it's Him. If you get an answer and it really doesn't match up with scripture, it doesn't matter what type of dream it was, what type of revelation it was, if it doesn't match up with scripture, you know it's false. It's not from Him. So, a little key thing here, brethren, when you pray, especially for things like that, pray silently. That's one way you can be sure your prayer will not be from the adversary, because Elohim has not allowed the adversary, nor his demons, nor any other creature, to read your mind and your heart. He can't do that. So when you're praying about important things that you're not sure about, pray silently. Do not reveal it even to your brother or sister whom you love. Okay? Not because you don't trust the brother or sister, but you don't want the adversary to hear these important prayers. Pray silently, and your Father who hears in secret, sees in secret, will answer your prayer. Some prayers we can pray openly about, things that are known, you know, like when we're speaking, praying against sin, when we're praying against the evils in this world. Yeah, we can pray out loud together in unison about these things. But when we're trying to understand hidden truth, we need to pray silently about these things. That way, when we get our answer, we know it's from Elohim. All right, we need to be one with the true church by making sure we are in his hand, not under some pastor, some quote-unquote rabbi or whatever, in his hand. So Yeshua said, quote, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my congregation, my ecclesia. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 18. And that's on our website. And because I feel that's a key thing, because our goal is to unite the brethren. We've been scattered through deception. We've been scattered through division, dividing over things we shouldn't be dividing about. We've been so deceived. The time of deception is over. Okay? The Elohim is opening the eyes of those who love him to bring the congregation, the green, bring the peoples into unity who love him. For Shema Israel, you shall love the eternal, your Elohim, with all your soul, with all your might, all your strength. That's what he says. So when we love, we're seeking those who love him. For when we find those who love them, whether they know the Sabbath, whether they know how to say the name, those things don't really matter. In that way, they matter. Don't get me wrong, they matter. But if they love Elohim, they will come and do these things. Beware lest we have the same spirit of those who were trying to impose circumcision and all these things on those who were coming. Did you notice what the apostle says? For on the Sabbath day, Moses is read. What is he saying? They are saying they will learn these things. Give them a break. Give them a chance, even as Elohim in his mercy has given you mercy. Why not be merciful on others if they love Elohim? Why not be patient as he is patient and draw those you see who love him? Don't be divided over Hebraic words that very few people even know what it means. Words which are not even pronounced as the ancients pronounced them. That's a fact. All you need to do is read about the history of how Hebrew was reintroduced into as a language, brought back. It was scholars from 18-something to the 19-something, with Ben Gruen being one of the most who, you know, did the best and came up with ideas as to what the word should be like. Cause no one had heard the Hebraic words. They just made, attempts based on the Semitic languages about them, even though the Semitic languages were very different, pronounced very differently. All you need to do is read Genesis when, I believe it was Jacob and Laban, I forgot who it was, but somewhere in Genesis, they made a pact about the well of the oath. And the Hebrew word for the well and the Aramaic words were so different. And to think that the scholars who, you know, try to sound down Hebrew, they used the languages around them to come up with these things. So we must be very, very careful not to stress things that aren't certain, but let's stress what is certain, that we should love Elohim with all our hearts and find those who love him and watch Elohim do his promise. You will see those who love him coming to the knowledge of truth. They will learn to the meaning of his name. And if it is his will, he will reveal to them exactly what it means. Because when he reveals something, he reveals it so that we can prove it to all. If we're going to prove things through text and text and text, we can't hear. The word is not, read, O Israel. The word is, Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. The word in the New Testament is that faith comes by reading. Faith comes by hearing. and hearing by the word of Elohim. Elohim did not set it up in the temple and so that people had their own Torah scrolls to come. No, they had the spirit-filled, spirit-led priests who would read in their hearing the word. And as they heard the word had the effect. I have nothing against reading. Reading is fine. But to know the absolute truth, it comes by hearing the word, the certain word of Elohim. So, dear brethren, we must make sure that we are part of the true congregation, and that means being in his hands, not joining a group. Because those who are in his hands has the signs of Elohim in them. I'm going to end here. They have the signs of Elohim in them. They repent of their sins. They don't make excuses for sins. You know why? Because they love Elohim, and the spirit of Elohim has given them victory over sin. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't watch pornography, they don't curse, they don't steal, they don't kill. These things are far from them. Far. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. They bless. They believe in faithfulness, not adultery. They believe in giving, not in stealing. They believe in being healthy and enjoying the things of Elohim. They don't care about watching TV and things like that so much. There's no temptation there from them. It's far from them. Far from them. I cannot say it again. Because we love Elohim. We keep the Sabbath, not because of the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath because we love Elohim. And the Sabbath belongs. We love everything concerning him, his kingdom, his people, every commandment. We can't have enough of it. That's how we are. That's how those who have repented of their sin, who are overcoming, that's how you know. It's not someone who's coming with tons and tons and tons and tons of words. Notice he says, not too many wise. Wise in their own eyes are called. Because it's by the spirit of Elohim. That's why he must have that seal. And he's not going to give his seal to anyone who tries to do it any other way. We must be baptized, do our best, pray, cry out, oh Elohim, send someone to baptize me, get me baptized. And then once we get baptized, cry out, please Elohim, fill me with the Spirit. Then it's a different ball game. Then we notice that when we pray for our healing, we are healed. We don't need vaccines. We don't need drugs. We don't need medicines. I'm not telling anyone not to take their medicines. But I'm just saying those that have the power of the Spirit in them, when they pray, they are healed. Okay? When they pray for others, others get healed. That's the evidence. And the virtuous lifestyle that they live day in and day out. And they, with an outgoing spirit, want to share. With a heart of mercy. A heart of love, because they want the fellow creature who was made, who was created to be made in the image of Elohim, whom Elohim so loved, to be saved. They have the mind of Messiah. They don't have a mind of rigid Torah. Those with the mind of a rigid Torah would have killed David. The two women who came to Solomon, they would have cast them out, or maybe even killed them, because they were, if I remember, they were prostitutes. Those with that kind of thinking, when they say, what do you say? Moses says they should be stoned. Oh, they just Torahly, they just know Torah. Oh yeah, stone her. No spirit. No spirit of life. No spirit of truth. No spirit of mercy. Let's not be like that. I stop here. Thank you, dear brethren. So our brother Paul, I'm sorry, can, announce the next host. Thank you very much. I will try to, I'm still not finished. But I'm almost finished, so I'm trusting, eternal permitting, next Sabbath we'll conclude this. So I stop with being part of his true congregation, which is in his hands. Thank you, dear brethren. Be encouraged in the spirit of Elohim. Amen.